We're going to read one of Jesus' parables today about the importance of hard work. And so to get us in the mood, I thought I'd share a couple stories about people at work that these may or may not be true stories. But I thought you might enjoy them anyway. For instance, there was a man named George. Let me tell you about George today. George went to his boss one day to ask for a raise. And George started by saying, "I know I've only worked here for a few weeks, but I have three companies after me, and if you don't give me a raise, I'm going to have to resign." And so the boss says, "Well, I don't want to lose you, so, well, how about a 5% raise?" And George is very pleased, and as he's walking out of the room, the boss says, "By the way, what three companies are after you?" And George says, "The electric company, the water company, and the phone company." So then the next day, George tells his boss, "Boss, I hate to say it, but my wife has big plans for next Tuesday. She wants me to clean out the garage and haul some heavy stuff up to the attic and paint the guest bathroom." And his boss cuts him off and he says, "I'm sorry, I can't give you the day off." And George says, "Thanks, boss. I knew I could count on you." You get it? Some of you didn't get that one. You can ask your wife about that one later. So then, one more story about George. A few days later, the company was going to open a new downtown store. And so George thought he would get in good with his boss, and so he arranged to have flowers sent to the new store to help celebrate what his boss had accomplished. And so the flowers arrive, and when the boss opens the card, it reads, "Rest in peace." And so the boss says, what's this about? And George is all upset, and he calls the florist and says, "You know, you sent me the wrong flowers. The card was wrong." And so the florist apologizes, but then she adds, "Well, at least you weren't at the funeral, because they have a nice bouquet of flowers, and the card there reads, 'Congratulations on your new location.'" All right. So sometimes hard work doesn't turn out the way you think it will. But Jesus appreciates hard work. He values faithful service. And so Jesus told this parable that we're going to read. And it's not just about your job or your career or the work that you do to please other people. But it's also about how we serve Jesus in our families and in our church and in our community, the hard work that we do for God's kingdom. So Jesus told this parable about service. But it also warns us, this parable warns us not to waste what God has invested in us. So let me read the introduction to this parable. It's in Matthew chapter 25 and beginning at verse 14. I'll just read the first paragraph of the parable. "Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once, put his money to work, and gained 5 bags more. So also the one who had 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money." We learned last week from a different parable that a bag of gold in this translation of the Bible was actually what was called a talent. And a talent, again, if you remember from last week, was a measurement of weight that was used to count out an amount of gold, and it was equivalent to about 50 pounds. So 1 bag of gold, or 1 talent, was 50 pounds of gold, which at today's rates, and if you bothered to do the math last week, remember I told you an ounce of gold in today's market is about $2,000, right? So if you multiply 16 ounces times 50 pounds times $2,000, each bag of gold was worth today about $1.5 million. That's a lot. So you think about this, one servant is given one bag of gold and you feel kind of bad for him. Oh, the master must not trust him very much. He only gets $1.5 million to work with. So they're all entrusted with a lot of valuable, important property to work with on behalf of the master. The master puts a lot of trust and faith in his servants, gives them this huge responsibility. And then he goes on his journey and he hopes that his servants will do something valuable with what he has invested in them. So here's what we need to learn from these opening verses of this parable, that God has made an investment in you and he expects a good return. God has made an investment and he expects a good return from what you do in your life. Now, when we hear bags of gold or talents or money, we immediately think about financial investments. But I think Jesus had a lot more in mind here than just money. In fact, I think God has poured many different types of resources into our lives. Some of us may have money in the bank, others may not. But God has still placed enormous investments, resources into your life. And so let me share a few of those as we think about what God has entrusted to us and what he wants us to use in order to bring him good returns. So first is that God has given each of us abilities, talents, natural strengths and things that we're good at, and also spiritual gifts, right? All of the various abilities that God has given you. Now, the abilities that you have may be different than what I have. There were three folks up here a couple minutes ago playing and singing, and I can't do any of those things, or at least not where you'd want a microphone anywhere near me. Some people have that natural musical ability. Others don't. Some of you are really good with numbers, and others aren't. Some of you are really good at writing or at comprehending complicated ideas, and others maybe aren't. Some of you are really good at making things with your hands. Some of us aren't. We all have different abilities. Some of you, God has given you the gift of kindness and compassion and service. To others, God has given abilities like physical strength or mental acuity. Some of you don't even know what acuity means. That's okay. We don't all have the same abilities. But God has given us each a unique set of abilities with which we can serve him. God has also given you experience. Think about all the things that you have lived through in your life, from your time in school, your education, to your job, to all the various things that you've succeeded at in life, as well as all the things that you've failed at in life. And you've learned from all of that. And all of those various experiences in your life have worked together to shape you into the person that you are today. And from those experiences, now you're better able to do new things. And maybe things that you've never done before, but you can draw from the experiences of the past that God has given you to now serve him into the future. God has also given each of us relationships. And we each have a unique set of people in our lives who touch us and who we are able to influence. It's your family, it's your friends, it's your neighbors, it's people at church, it's the people that you maybe only know a little bit and others that you know really, really well. But each of those relationships, again, shape who you are. And they're also opportunities that God has given you to be able to touch the lives of the people around you. And then God has given you all of the other various resources, like, again, money. But also think about where you live as a resource that God has given you. The neighborhood that you live in. The people that you interact with. The community that we all share together here. The nation that we live in. What a blessing it is to live in a free nation versus those who live in parts of the world where they aren't able to worship God freely or share their faith with others. And we may grumble about some of the things in our community, but what a blessing it is that God has given us to live here in this place among these people. And we can see that as a resource that God has given us. So for each one of us, God has poured into your life all of these various blessings and resources and abilities and relationships. And you might think as you look at your life, well, I've only got one bag of resources versus other people who have two bags or five bags. And maybe that's true. Maybe you look at your life and you think, oh, I haven't been as richly blessed in resources as someone else. Okay. But remember that God has entrusted, or as Jesus tells the story, the master in the parable, entrusts to each of his servants something very valuable. That whole bag of gold. And it's not just something to ignore or to feel sorry for yourself that, oh, I don't have as much as someone else, but to take what God has given you, and he's given it specifically to you, and to think, what can I do to return back to God something good from what he has invested in my life? The point of Jesus' parable, and we'll read more of it here in just a minute, is that God expects a good return. He expects hard work. He expects profitable service from each one of us. And so all of the abilities and experiences and relationships and resources of your life, all those good things that God has given you, are not just there to make your life interesting, but they're there because God expects you to serve His will and His purposes and to do good things in the name of Jesus. Now, from what I see in the people in this church, I think most of us, I'll just say all of us to be nice, all of us are like the first two servants who have taken what God has given us and we have returned to God many good things in terms of the work that we've accomplished in our lives. The question going forward is, will we continue to? Even in this weird time when we can't be face to face with people or touch anyone who you don't live with or be near to those who are not in your little circle of quarantine. But even in this time, how can we serve? How can we continue to do good work for God's kingdom? So listen to what happened to these first two servants after the master comes back from his journey. So now at verse 19. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received five bags of gold brought the other five. Master, he said, you entrusted me with five bags of gold. See, I've gained five more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with two bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with two bags of gold. See, I've gained two more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Now we'll get to the third servant in just a moment. But we all, as we hear these verses, we think, won't it be wonderful to hear those sorts of words spoken over us when we arrive in heaven, we're greeted by Jesus, we're embraced and welcomed into the paradise of God's glory, and God says to us, or Jesus says to us, well done, good and faithful servant. And I think we can look forward to that. I think we can all hope in that great promise that our heavenly welcome will be like that. But I think we also need to hope that we can hear God say those words to us, maybe not out loud, but in other ways, here and now in this life. That as we go through our lives, each chapter of our life, each new moment, each way that we serve God, each important thing that we bring to God in terms of our hard work and service and faithfulness, that God recognizes at each moment of our lives the good things that we accomplish for Him. And that we can hear Him say, even now, well done, good and faithful servant. Good job. Thank you for serving. God can be pleased with you right now for the ways that you serve Him. So let me share a couple of truths that we learn from these first two servants. The first is that God sees the many ways that you faithfully serve Him. God sees all of those ways. Now, I know in the world that we live in, the culture around us particularly tends to judge success by things like money and fame. And so in our world, if you don't get rich or you don't become famous, then our world doesn't really care about you that much. And it's only the people who are rich and famous who ever think they hear, well done, good and faithful servant. And for the world, that's who they celebrate. But for the rest of us, and for those of us who know Jesus and follow after the things of God, it isn't about the money that we make, it's not about how famous we become or the celebrity that we make ourselves into. But see, Jesus looks at our lives differently. He sees all of the many different ways that we honor and serve Him. Such as, Jesus sees how you influence people. How you show the people around you who Jesus is and the difference that God makes in your own life. God sees how you live in good and honest and hard-working ways. And how you set an example by how you live your life of what it means to be righteous and what it means to be compassionate to others. And it may just be by how you live your life that someone else, as they watch and they hear how you speak and they see the choices that you make, it may just be that you help lead someone else toward Jesus. And for all those little ways that you are an example to others, Jesus sees you, and He says, well done. God also sees how you care for your family, the sacrifices that you make or that you have made for your children, for your grandchildren, the ways that you love and show generosity and compassion to your family, and how your life has shaped the lives of your children and your siblings and your spouse and your grandchildren and your parents and everyone around you in your family, that your life can help shape their lives. And God sees those things. God also sees your service in the church. He sees how you give time and energy to come here and do the little things and the big important things, and how your service helps to make this fellowship healthy and loving for one another. He sees how you make this church a place where people can worship and grow in their faith, and the things that you do here are not missed by God. He sees that, and He says, well done, good and faithful servant. God also, in the same way, sees your impact on the community around us, how you love your neighbors, how you promote compassion and justice in this world, how you care for people who are different from you, and that impact on the community not only touches other lives, but God sees what you do. And He's pleased. So God sees all those good things that you do in your life, all those resources that you take and receive from God and turn into good, hard work for His kingdom. And so for each of those ways that you impact the people around you, God says, well done. Good and faithful servant. Now, we also learn from these first two servants that God entrusts important work to His good servants. In other words, God gives you more work to do once you've proven yourself to be good and faithful. And so the master congratulates both the five bag and the two bag servants. And he says to both of them, well done, good and faithful servant. He says to both of them, come and share your master's happiness. And notice that he also gives each of them a promotion. He says, you've been faithful with a few things. Now I'm going to put you in charge of even more things, greater things, better things, that you can do even more service for the kingdom. You see, when we prove ourselves faithful, when we prove that what God has given us is going to be turned into some important work in God's kingdom, then God calls us to new responsibilities. So when you care well for your children and your family, God may then call you to serve in the church. And when you show yourself faithful in your service to the church, God may then ask you to reach out into the community with some ministry of love and compassion and evangelism to reach people beyond the church. And when you produce fruit in one area of ministry or one type of service, God may open up doors so that you can reach more people and different people in new ways. Now keep in mind that promotion in the kingdom doesn't always look like the world might think it will look. It may not look like bigger and better things in the eyes of the world. What it may look like instead is new opportunities to serve and to sacrifice and to give of yourself toward those in need. And in God's eyes, those are bigger and better things. Because more lives are touched. And when Jesus says you will be put in charge of many things, that may mean for you that you will be able to reach more people with the good news of Jesus. It may mean a new opportunity for you to give of yourself to serve people in need around you. And the reward for faithful service in God's kingdom, it's not money or fame, but it's the joyful invitation to come and share in your master's happiness and to receive even new and better responsibilities in the kingdom. So those are the first two servants, and things work out pretty well for them. But then we have this third servant in the parable, and I think this is where the real heart of Jesus' parable lies. And so we need to think about the third servant a bit. We continue reading now in verse 24. Then the man who had received one bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you've not sown, gathering where you've not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvested where I've not sown and gathered where I've not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I've never gnashed my teeth, but it doesn't sound very fun. As we read this part of the parable, you might be tempted to think, maybe we should feel sorry for this third servant. Right? He is afraid of making a mistake. He knows that his master is demanding. He doesn't want to do something that he might lose his master's money. He digs a hole in the ground to ensure against failure. I don't want to fail in this job that I've been given. It's a big responsibility. And so instead of taking a chance, I'm just going to dig a hole and bury the master's money. And when he comes back, I'll give him the whole bag of gold back. And you might think, you know, there have been times when I would make the same kind of decision. At least no one stole the money. At least I didn't try something that failed and lose it all. And so we might be tempted to kind of feel sorry for him. You know, he did his best. At least he didn't lose anything. But you see, in Jesus' eyes, as he tells this story, Jesus understands that this third servant wasted his opportunity to serve. He was paralyzed by fear, and so he ended up accomplishing nothing of value. The master could have just, instead of even bothering this third servant at all, the master could have put the money in the bank and it would earn interest. And that's kind of what he says to him. You should have just left it in the bank. I would have at least gotten my 1.5% or whatever the bank's paying these days, instead of no return on my money. But you see, the master trusted his servants to work, to do something of value with what he had given them. The third servant didn't work at all, out of fear, out of laziness. And so here's what we need to learn from this part of the parable, that God desires his servants to be faithful, not fearful. Now, we should not get the wrong impression from this that I think some people maybe foolishly do, which is to say, oh, Jesus is telling us to take risks, to gamble what he's given us, so that we may somehow get a huge windfall at the end of the day. Jesus is not saying to us that we should be cutthroat entrepreneurs and stop at nothing to turn a great profit. Nor is he saying that our value in the kingdom will be judged according to how much money we make in this life. And I know some people read these kinds of parables about money and they think, oh, Jesus is always talking about money, and so if I'm going to be faithful, I've got to get rich. And Jesus isn't really talking about money here. He's talking about all the various resources that he has invested in us. What Jesus wants from us is faithfulness, is hard work. He wants us to take what he has invested in our lives, our abilities, our relationships, our resources, all the experiences that he's given us. And he wants us to serve his mission, to share his love, and to share his message with the people around us. And if we serve faithfully, then the results of our lives, the things that we accomplish, will be measured in how many lives we have touched and how often we have sown the seeds of truth of God's Word and how much compassion and mercy we've shared with people when they're hurting. And the righteous moral choices that we have made that align with God's Word instead of the values of the world. You see, Jesus calls you to serve him faithfully, to do the things that he asks you to do in your family and in the church and in your community and in your job. And when you do, when you serve him faithfully, he will be pleased. And he will say to you, well done, good and faithful servant, because he will see that you've worked hard with what he's given you. And it doesn't matter how much money you make. It doesn't matter if the world looks at your life and says, oh, you're just a regular person. You never accomplish anything important. No, God will see your faithfulness. God will see how you sought to obey him and how you took those things that he invested in you and you touched the lives of the people around you with love and compassion and with the good news of Jesus Christ. And he will say, well done, good and faithful servant. Now come and share in your master's happiness. So with that hope, with that joy, with that promise that Jesus has made us, let's ask him to guide us in our lives. Let me pray for you. Father, we thank you for your word, for the encouragement that you've given us to take what you invest in our lives, all those various resources, and to work hard for you. Lord, show us those ways that you want us to serve you, the ways that we can love our families and our neighbors, the ways that we can serve here in the church, the ways that we can reach out into our community with your love and with the story of Jesus. And Lord, as we do, we pray that you would be pleased. We pray that our work would be fruitful. We pray that lives would be touched. Lord, even those little seeds of encouragement and truth that we can sow, we ask that you would take them and turn them into something good and fruitful. Lord, we thank you for the promise that as we serve you, as we are faithful, that you will be pleased with our lives. And so we look forward to hearing, whether it's today or tomorrow or long into eternity, we look forward to hearing you tell us that we have done good work, that we have been faithful servants. And we look forward to enjoying your happiness, your goodness, your glory for all eternity. Lord, we love you and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.